We're recording this New Year's Day. This is a very holiday version of the Week in Review. I actually missed our record time last night because I was otherwise occupied. I just got off the golf course and may have had a couple of beers in my hand, but I apologise, Steve. But we're here, barely. Our sound and the picture not fantastic, but we'll do the best.
I'm Ian Hawkins, and this is Sport is Life. The purpose of sport, as I see it, is to see your vision become a reality. Find your voice, create strong connections, and learn to trust your body.
How are you, mate?
Yeah, really good, mate. I'm a little bit worse for wear for Christmas as well, mate. So we'll have a few laughs and tell a few stories today and make it a bit of an easier one, mate.
Absolutely. And one of the funny stories is we talked about last week about both of our teams hopeful of getting Kaloa Matangi on board, and it seems the Dragons have won the race.
Yeah, mate, it was a helicopter for the win for the Dragons. Yeah. I know South haven't given up. They've still got the 10-day clause in place. But, look, it's good signs for the Dragons. We spoke about them a couple of weeks ago, you know, needing a big kill. And while Kyle Matangi is not in the Payne Haas, you know, level, he's a bloody good front rower, still with a few good years left in him, obviously. So to see him sign with the Dragons is good news for the club, but hopefully help those younger fellas out and stick it to you, Hawk, with the Eels, mate. That's a great victory.
Yeah, that's the victory. But like I said, he's going there to win premiership. So how's your confidence on that one, mate?
Yeah. Oh, I'm glad he's thinking that way. That's a positive step in the right direction. He's a little bit more confident than what I am and most long-suffering Dragons fans would be. But, as I said, it's good that we've finally got, you know, at least that top-tier player that's starting to look at the club. You know, whether there's going to be more to follow, we'll see. We've still got two or three of those older fellas that will start to transition out that have done a good job during the start of the rebuild. But I'd love to see him win a comp in the 5 years he's at the Dragons, obviously. But he's a little bit more confident than I am, let's put it that way.
Yeah. It's not till 2027, is it? So plenty can happen between now and then, both good, bad, and everything in between. So we'll be interested. 100%. Yeah. While we're talking NRL, we should dive into the potential rule changes. I like some of the changes that they've brought in to make the game better to watch, because it's certainly the most watchable it's been a long time. But I don't like this starting to bring in like lottery stuff, like the scoring team now gets the option to either kick off or receive. Like, what the hell's that?
Yeah, I can only assume that there's something behind it around trying to limit the concussion off the kickoff. You know, someone sitting behind a desk thinks that if you're chasing points, you're going to do the short kickoff. You've just conceded a try, and potentially it's a short one. They're limiting the concussion possibilities, but yeah. I don't like it. It's just tinkering with the fabric that I understand the concussion's a serious problem, but that's the game that they play, and they're doing everything they possibly can. So I don't like that one, I must admit. And the uncertainty, they're going to stand around and they're going to, you know, drag it out as long as they can before they make a decision on what they want to do. Yeah, I don't point. Like it.
Yeah, I didn't think about that. That's just another way to slow the game down. Maybe there needs to be a timer on that too if they did go that way. And then the default is if you don't meet the timer, it's just as you were. But is it really going to reduce the amount of concussions from kickoffs? Because
you know, if you're chasing points, they potentially go for a short kickoff.
If you're the team that's chasing points, they've just scored. Usually you're receiving again, but you're saying go for the short kickoff. That might be
only assume that there's something to do with, because if it's not to do with the concussion, mate, why the hell would they bloody be doing it? I don't get it. It's irrelevant. I don't understand it, mate.
Well, what they've done a good job is of making comebacks possible, which they might have got a bit over the top on. This will just add more momentum. Imagine a team just coming home like a freight train. They've already got momentum, and then they get that option as well.
Yeah.
Like teams could score 30 points in 6 minutes. Like, that's crazy.
No, it's a miss for me on that one, mate. I know that they've all got to take them to the coaches and the GMs now to vote on. I'd be shocked if that one got through.
Yeah, exactly. Maybe that one's just put in there so they can see the other one. Well, the one I do like is something Michael Chambers has been going on about for a while, like having like a football bench where you've got an extended bench. You still only get to choose four, but in a day and age where we have concussions, people ruled out in specific positions, it gives more options. Like, teams have had to get better at adapting, but when it's taken out of your hand because the doctor decides that you've been concussed and you've got to go off and that's a key position, I don't know. I think that's probably a good one for me. What about you?
Yeah, I'll argue, mate. We don't disagree on too many, but I think about tomorrow more than today. You know, you take the Melbourne Storm as an example in that Chemis, pushing for this. Yeah. Pezzett sits on the bench all year, making sure that Munster or Hughes doesn't go down. Pezzett doesn't play any reserve grade, can't play for the year. He's sitting on the bench and gets limited time in NRL. I just think that, you're going to really push for one of those halves, especially to be one of those 18th, 19th men. We've got to get our halves playing, right? The more game time young halves play, especially against grown men in reserve grade, Q Cup, New South Wales Cup, the better. And while I understand NRL's where it's at, every win is so vital in the NRL. One win can put you in the eight or not. I just see that there's another two guys travelling. We're expanding the game. Perth next, in 2 years' time. PNG after that. There's more travel, limited time for players to be able to back up and play reserve grade if they're sitting on the bench not doing anything. If it's another couple of forwards or an outside back, I sort of get it. But they're all going to lob on, to your point, a half. And get them playing, mate. Get them out in reserve grade playing games. So, I don't know. I say, again, this comes down to the concussion things. I understand that fully. But for the long term of the game, young halves need to be playing as much football as they possibly can, especially against older blokes in reserve grade, So
yeah. We'll see how that goes. Yeah, but as you say that, it makes me think, because football's got that model and there is a lot of players, the Socceroos have that problem regularly where a lot of their players are playing in Europe but they're not actually getting game time and the form coming in. But on the flip side, NFL has a heap of players that just never play.
Yeah.
And they're expected to be doing training at levels that replicates games so that when they come in, they are able to do that. So maybe that's where we're heading with professionalism is to have more game-like training where they are getting that. I know people say, you can't get timing unless you're in a game, but maybe there is new ways to get creative with training. I know that's been a big thing for football is that all training should be game-like. There's no more running hills and no more just running for the sake of it. Everything's got to be with the ball. And I did notice that Jason Royals talked about that in the preseason. They got flogged, but everything they did was with the ball.
Yeah.
Which is, I don't know if that's entirely true. That's what he said, but maybe that's where we're heading anyway.
Yeah, it'll be an interesting one to see how that pans out. I thought that was one of the ones that was the most interesting of the lot, that one. So we'll see how we go. Look, at the end of the day, I think, the NRL wins vitally important and then developing long-term is vitally important. So it'd be interesting to see, what clubs land on what side of that when the decision's made.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, this last one, this might have some merit. The one about set restarts.
Outside your 20.
Yeah, outside the 20. Yeah,
yeah, that was a little bit wishy-washy in the way they pushed that out through the media. So I think they're going to need to be some more details on that. But
well, it's effectively stopping teams do what they do now, which is defending on their own line. They find that easier because they don't have to get up and back, and they back their defence so that they happily give away set restarts for long periods of time on their own line. So it's a way of trying to mitigate that. I'm not sure if that's the right answer.
Yeah,
I'd be more inclined to go with 5 minutes in bins if you're going to they're a bit too lenient with that. If you're just going to repeatedly lie on the opposition while they've got seven tackle sets, I'd just be going, that's you've had a couple of warnings on your way. I think they're too lenient.
Look, there's no doubt, with probably the exception of the changes to the seven tackle on the in goal, there's no doubt there's 17 clubs poring over the rules and seeing how they can bend them and what they want to vote for and not vote for. So that'll certainly be an interesting one, mate.
Yeah, see where it goes. I did have that thought after we lost the Ashes test in Melbourne. I'm like, okay, cricket's over. Let's just roll on the footy season. How long before the first game?
Yeah, well, mate, it won't. Next week's, tomorrow's the new year, right? So as soon as the new year hits, the Sydney test will be done and we'll be seeing vision of pre-season and they'll be talking about charity shields and all sorts of stuff. So we're not far off now.
That's it. It's interesting that it is all year round now. My old mate Tappy that used to do the rugby league summertime. Remember that old show on? Yeah, he was ahead of his time, mate. Ahead of his time.
And Warren Orr Plumbing special sponsors.
Warren Orr Plumbing. That's it, mate. He did a great job. He still does a great job of generating of income for that sort of stuff. And but he was ahead of his time because he said that there's a window there for content. And I get the feeling if they'd backed him better, that could have been something good. And but now it's just the norm.
We both spent some time there, mate. There's so much more Fox League could do, especially in the off season. I loved that show. Everyone I spoke to, the true footy fans, it was awesome. Go to a club for preseason for an episode. You'd watch them even if it wasn't your club. So I did enjoy that show.
Those are the days. I'll have to tell him you got a shout out the show. He'll love that. So you ventured down for Boxing Day. It must have been an amazing experience despite the disappointment of it only being 2 days.
Yeah, it was awesome, mate. So as I spoke, it's the old man's 70th this year. So I took him down and the young fella. The three of us went down, flew out Christmas Day, which was a bit of a change for our family. It ruffled a few feathers, but we flew down. The missus did a sensational job planning it all, mate, and bucket list item, you know. So we were there before the grounds, but on day one we got there that early. We're all excited, took the photo with the Warnie statue and the old boys taking photos with Dennis Lilly statues and all sorts of stuff. So look, it was a huge bucket list item, mate, to have the three of us there. Cracking experience. Like the MCG is just a coliseum, as they say, mate. Full house.
So that's your first time there?
I'd been there a long time ago, but for a while now, it was my old man's first time there. So he's a cricket tragic. He's been watching the Ashes since he was a young fella. So to be out there, the anthems have a little bit of a tear in the eye during that. Pretty special. Both days we weren't far from the Barmy Army, so they were a little quiet on day one, but come home like a train on day two, let me tell you. The experience genuinely was amazing. It really was.
Yeah, so good. I can see why. I haven't been to Adelaide, but I can see why they talk about that being the premier venue for fans, because as good as the MCG is, it is a little bit cavernous and it's an amazing place, don't get me wrong, and I've seen full houses there for AFL as well. Like it's an incredible atmosphere, but there's something as a fan of having more of that sort of carnival feel and more relaxed feel, so maybe Adelaide's next year.
Yeah, that'd be nice, mate. I don't know. The missus better start saving, I suppose.
Oh, mate, you're well looked after. And I saw the pictures. You all look really happy. I did enjoy the picture of H next to the nets. Maybe he was dreaming of the future, eh?
Yeah, he was, mate. He actually busted a gut both mornings. He wanted to get down to see them in the nets. So we saw Marnus on day two, but he sees a bit of Marnus up here. Just the facilities and just immerse ourselves in cricket for 2 days. We would have loved the third day. We had tickets. Spent the third day walking around at markets and finding a pub, which wasn't bad either. But, the atmosphere, anyone who loves cricket can't recommend it highly enough to get to Melbourne for a Boxing Day test once in your life, mate.
Yeah, well said. So to the cricket itself, I was having this conversation with father-in-law this week, and we were talking about the pitch, and I imagine it's a fine line because they've got to get the balance right for 5 days. And he was thinking about this hot weather that was coming. People referenced last year, and I noticed when they had him face the media that he talked about, like last year, yes, it went the distance. It was 5 days, but we got lucky because there was two cold days or cooler days at the end of the test, which allowed it to keep going. But he said if the forecast that was there had come and the pitch just flattened out, then everyone would be complaining that it didn't have enough. So I imagine it's easy to say in hindsight, oh, there's too much grass on, but yeah, be tricky. Yeah, one, I reckon. Well, mate,
day one, we were in the shade the whole day. We were freezing. Like, it wasn't cold.
Yeah, right.
It was free. Now, I know we're from Queensland, but it was bloody freezing. And then day two, we got sunburnt. So it was classic Victorian weather you hear about. I heard, obviously, everyone's heard him talk. He mentioned that just the unpredictability of the weather for the back end of the test, you know, it's day 3, 4, 5. Unfortunately, didn't get to that, to see that. But, yeah, it must be that very tough balancing act. Everyone wants to see a result. You know, they get it jammed down their throat now that they don't want to see draws, boring, played out draws over 5 days. They definitely want a result. But then you get it wrong slightly and it costs you a day and a half and then everyone's in as well. So, yeah, a tough going.
Yeah, yeah. The thing is, he's done a great job. He got headhunted to go there from Adelaide, and you get it wrong one time and everyone comes for you. It's harsh, mate. Now, speaking of harsh, Matty Hayden did not miss on Michael DiVinito when he was talking about the top order of the Australian team. He's been the batting coach there for a few years now. And like, yes, there were some balls there that were, like, borderline unplayable. Like, there were some there that people were missing by two bat widths because it was jagging that much. But there were some dismissals that were just like just shit batting.
Yeah. Yeah. I thought you can put the bulk of Perth down to shit batting. I thought you look back at it now. But you look at this test match, yeah, some really poor decisions and shots, get it. But the pitch didn't allow for a lot either. You know, there's even been talk of the ball. I know Kerry O'Keefe was talking about the new Kookaburra's got a higher seam that moves around more. You know, the pitch has got more grass on it. All these different sorts of things. You know, your mate Chappell's had a crack at them for not being mentally tough enough and digging in, you know, saying Border wouldn't have got out like that. So there's probably a whole mixture thing, but to me they still bat like they're one-day cricketers playing a test match.
Yeah,
and 100%. And that's the flip side. You know, they did, the ones that did succeed, I will say this, the ones that did succeed in Melbourne were the ones that went out after it. You know, the way Head batted even Nessa in the first innings and then the way the Pommies finished the game, they didn't dig in. They went out and scored runs and got there. But, mate, to me, they're just playing one-day cricket just in whites over 5 days. So there's just that mentality I think has to change.
Yeah, that's one of the things Hayden said, was like it's not just happening on green pitches. Like the batting mentality is not right. And we've talked about it here in the lead up to the Ashes, during the Ashes. There's still the fragility in the top order, and there has been.
Yeah.
Well, we've been rescued that many times by Head and Smith. It's going back a few years before other people were consistently getting them. It's just not that consistent level of confidence in the batting because there's deficiencies and technically, like, they seem to be doing a heap of work, but I think there's probably a fair bit of it is to do with what you said, which is it's a T20 mindset. I don't know. It's I know maybe we sound like old blokes, but the technique just seems to have gone out the window a bit. Like,
look, everything they do in junior cricket is one days. You know, it doesn't until you get up to senior cricket where you start to play 2 day cricket at least. But everything that we do in, as a sport is based around this high scoring one day mentality. You know, get in, score your runs, and get out. So I don't know where it keeps going because the next generation coming through, you know, the 15-year-olds now. It's even going to be worse, right? Because that's 100% what we're on.
But the Indians keep churning out batsmen who can go on the attack but also have very good defence. And technically they're playing great shots. And you would see it on your social media feed videos popping up of some other kid in India who's like 10 looking like and the most technically correct player. That doesn't always mean that they're going to go on and get the results. But there's definitely a balance there that needs to be more in favour of having the more solid technique. I just think they're Yeah, it's like I said, we've talked about it in the last 6 months when we're talking about the Ashes, but I've been having this conversation with mates for years. Like we just keep getting rescued.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right, mate. It's it's certainly not something we're talking about after a loss. It's you brought it up before we a ball was bowled. So it'll be interesting to see where they go, right? So Aussies batted down the order this last test. He surely can't keep going. You know, Sydney's his swan song potentially. Then they need to find another top order batsman. So it certainly isn't going to stop. They need to start figuring out the way to develop that mix.
Yeah, 100%. I think that's what you talked about before, the Shield, like making it more bowler-friendly, that will force them to get better in those conditions. Let's go a bit more to the fan side of things. What was there? There's always something good to see in the crowd. Like, what were a few of those moments that entertaining moments in the crowd? Those two
mate, the sheer amount of alcohol some of those guys drank going up and down those stairs the MCG was a marvel. I can tell you that.
That's a big statement coming from you, mate.
Yeah. The old man and I like to bend the elbow, but it was pretty impressive drinking around us, I'll be honest. So that was good. Look, the Barmy Army, we're a little bit disappointed day one. I don't know whether they'd had a big Christmas and they were whining into it, but sitting not far from them on day two when it was getting close, that was pretty special. They didn't stop. The trumpeter come out. That was awesome. So that was really impressive. But
I think they were nervous.
Well, they would have been, yeah. We had a couple of poms next to us and they didn't really settle down until they got within 30 or 40 runs before they went, okay, I think we're finally going to win. They just thought that someone from Australia was going to pull something out at the last minute. But, mate, I can't – there was a little bit of ruckus at the end. A few of the boys were getting a little bit keen on the sculling of the beers and they'll get kicked out. But the crowd itself was phenomenal. There was no crap going on. It was everyone was in good spirits. Even though obviously the home team lost, it was just good fun. Everyone had a good time. As I said to you, mate, for a spectacle, I can't talk highly enough of it.
Yeah, it's good. Being an English cricket fan must be what it's, I reckon it's probably very similar to what it's been like being a Para fan for the last 40 years. Like having moments where you think you definitely won, only to have it ripped away. you kind of get a bit jaded. And when people go, oh, you're homie, you go, well, let's just wait and see. Do you remember the game against the Dragons? It was, I think it might have been the last game of 2024 season when we were up 44-4 or something, and you guys ran in 7 tries in 15 minutes and nearly won it.
Back. Yeah, the Eels. Yeah, I must admit, I'll get the words wrong, but one of the Barmy Army songs, one of the Aussies gave it to them for 3-0 down, and the Barmy Army come back with basically "You're not special, we always lose" sort of thing. So that was the sort of fun mentality in the crowd. Being a Pommy fan, they were on the seat of the edge of their seat sort of thing. So it was good fun, mate.
Good value. Well, let's hope that we get a good match in the last one. I was reading the other day, Sydney's no longer the pitch it used to be. It might have a bit of juice in it. The spinners barely bowled last year. We just want 5 days, mate. Like, it ruined my week.
You're on holidays, mate.
We want exactly.
Yeah. Surely they've got to play Murphy and surely it's got to have some sort of spin. Like, that's what it was. That's what it's known for, right?
Yeah.
Fix it.
Exactly. Yeah. Make it like it used to be when we were kids.
That's right. Yeah.
Bring back Warnie. Oh, shit. Yeah. Oh, that's what I wanted to talk about that too. How old's Nathan Lyon? He must be 38, is he?
Yeah, I was going to say, I would have said late 30s, yeah.
I saw something the other day. I thought it was a bit harsh talking about, like he's no longer the best spinner in the country, which I don't believe. But it is a good point. Like, where to now? Like, Murphy has been good when he was in India. I didn't think he got thrown in when Lyon got injured in England. He didn't go so well. Like, they actually took to him.
He's sniffing around, obviously. The two Queenslanders, Kuhneman and can't quite place the second one, Swepson, they're both sniffing around. I can't recall his name. There's a young fella in Perth that they're all talking about at the moment. Yeah, I think If he's not leading wicket-taker, he's up there. But, yeah, there's certainly not someone who's just a lock to take the spot if he goes down long-term. Like, they may not play a spinner. That's the way it's going, right?
Yeah, exactly. Well, I just think it's a bit like when after Warnie finished, we went through probably 10 to 12 spinners before they landed somewhere. Like, what's going to happen now? Yeah. I think we'll be heading down a similar path. Interesting. All right, mate. We better get back to our holidays. This is it's been good to chat. And for the listeners, we'll be back next week at some point. I don't imagine I'm going to be recording too much between now and then on my own. So it could be the next episode could be the weekend review. We'll see how we go. Jeez, as always, pleasure, Steve. Always good.
You've taken the time to listen to this whole episode. Now it's time to take action. Commit to one thing you've learned today and make it happen. And to avoid any obstructions, join the Sport is Life movement by clicking on the link in the show notes.